This is Pacific Bell with a collect call from
Jerry Piven.
Press 1 now.
Let's go, 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 go.
We have one of our favorite people on the line from Los Angeles, Chrissy Blaze. How are you, Chrissy?
Oh, hi, Jerry. Thanks so much. You're one of my favorites, too, so.
Why, hey, it's a mutual admiration society here.
It's got to be a good thing, eh?
Well, we're going to talk about your book here in a minute, Power Prayer. Gary wrote this with you as well, right? Your husband?
That's right. He did. Normally he would be on the line, but he's just come back from about a three-hour dental trip, so I'm on my own today.
Well, we'll offer him tea and sympathy. Well, forget the tea, just the sympathy.
Okay, I'll pass it on. Thanks, Jerry.
Anyway, as far as that, we'll get into the book here in a moment. I notice maybe I'm mistaken, but I got the impression you were going to go up to Detroit in April or sometime.
Oh, you got the right impression. Yeah, we're doing a lecture tour in the Michigan, Detroit area.
Uh-huh.
At the end of April, we're giving quite a few lectures and workshops there.
The reason I mention that is we always want people to know about what's happening.
Great, super. It's on my website, all the dates and the times and the phone numbers. My website's chrissyblaze.com, that's C-H-R-I-S-S-I-E, Blaze, B-L-A-Z-E. The only reason I'm spelling that, Jerry, is because it's the English version of the name, not the American.
That's right, and we can tell that you're English.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it's something to do with the
accent. So you're actually, this speaking tour, I guess, is all the information's up there, but I noticed that... what's that, 10 days over a period of 10 days or something like that?
Yeah, it's about 9 days, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks for giving that a plug, Jerry, and I hope some of your listeners are in that area. We hope to see them. It'd be great.
And we'll have a link. In fact, we have a link to that as well on our website. But let's talk about Chrissy Blaze here in a little bit about your book, and I want to get into that. But what's new in your life? You got another book going or something?
Well, we've got plenty of ideas, but it's just finding the time. The main thing we're focusing on now is really pushing out this message of sort of prayer in the world, especially now when there's so much focus at the moment on Mel Gibson's film.
But let's talk about power prayer. What do you mean by that?
Well, what it is, it's a technique which we've used for over 25 years, of a technique that can be used by anybody of any religion. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian, Jewish or Buddhist or whatever. It's a technique that can enhance your existing prayers. And it was taught to us by Dr. King, who is the founder and president of the Etheria Society, which, as you know, Jerry, Gary and I are members. And he taught us this technique many, many years ago. And it's combined with our study of like the Eastern energy arts and yoga and so on. We realize that it's a technique that anyone can use to enhance their prayers, enhance the results of their prayers. And we've seen amazing results over the years through using it with healing of individuals, healing of animals and plants. And we've seen the weather change, and all sorts of amazing things have been the result of this.
Now, you mentioned Dr. King. You actually knew him when he was alive, correct?
Yeah, we worked with him for... for over 25 years until his passing. I met him, and Gary did too, when we were quite young, very young, and were so impressed by this man and this a true master, not just the term that everybody likes to call each other master now, but he was a true master in the sense that he was a truly enlightened individual, a man from England actually, an Englishman, and very well versed in the metaphysical occult art and in, you know, he was an extremely unusual man. And so we worked with him.
When you say an unusual man, what do you mean?
Well, he wasn't like an ordinary run-of-the-mill person. His focus was on his mission, which was one of healing, not just individuals. And he taught very simple and practical techniques of healing for the individuals, but also on world healing. And the reason he set up the Etheria Society was to not only promote the teaching that he received for many, many years from sources above and beyond this earth, but also to invent these missions of world healing, which really is the sort of heartbeat of the Etheria Society.
Yeah, we got the Mars landers going now and all that kind of stuff, and I noticed in your astrology newsletter, The planet Mars has some effect coming up here. I guess, so what, February 28th, we had something happen there, and an eclipse or something?
Yeah, that was something else. But if you remember, late last year, there was the Mars came nearest to the Earth than it had been. And people were asking me, what do you think the effect might be as an astrologer? And of course, there are many, many different things. But one thing that seems very simplistic and very obvious is that there would be more of more interest in Mars as a planet, as an influence. And of course, the next thing we hear about life, you know, the spirits, you know, the that landed on Mars, and there was a lot of information about Mars in the news. So that was kind of one interesting effect.
Yep.
And hopefully, another interesting effect will be that there will be more of a Martian influence throughout the world.
Well, now, what do you mean by that Martian influence?
To explain that, as an astrologer, the Martian influence in anybody's birth chart is their sort of their energy, their discipline, their sort of strength. And one thing I think we need in the world is that kind of influence. People need to get off the fence. They need to espouse their cause and sort of go for it with passion. And that's sort of Martian influence. And with discipline and with focus, this kind of thing.
Well, now, you know, I'm a Sagittarian, and I notice that you bring up the planet Jupiter later this month as well. That has some influence coming up on us Sagittarians, among others.
Yeah, because your ruling planet is Jupiter, that's right, as a Sagittarius. Love to travel both physically and mentally and so forth. As a great adventurers of the zodiac, and the planet Jupiter is the planet of travel and expansion and foreign places and so on. And it's traveling through the sign of Virgo at the moment, and it's making some interesting aspects at the end of this month. People can look at my... I can't really go into all the complex astrological thing, but if they look at my website, again, it has kind of what's happening. But Sagittarians as a whole are really being affected and have been for the past few years because of certain things that are happening.
I'm not asking you to, you know, tell everybody my entire life, but is that... Are things going to get better for me or worse?
There's been an awful lot of pressure on the Sagittarians. I'm sure people listening are Sagittarians will recognize that. There's been a lot of pressure, and sometimes it manifests as health, sometimes as financial problems, and sometimes as emotional problems, but it's pressure. And you've really felt this as a kind of great pressure. And the pressure will be eased. It's because the planet Pluto is going through the sign of Sagittarius very slowly. It takes 12 years to travel through the sign. It's all going to be good at the end.
Well, that's good to hear. We're talking with Chrissy Blaise here, chrissyblaise.com. You can find her on the web, Chrissie, correct?
That's right.
B-L-A-Z-E.
You've got it.
Chrissy has a book called Power Prayer, which she wrote with her husband, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. But I want to get into this Aetherius society a little more. And I think probably one of the best ways to explain the beliefs here is if we take your views of the Mel Gibson movie, The Passion.
Right. Right.
I think you have a, you know, all we're hearing is praise now, and you have something a little different viewpoint on it. You might explain to our audience, and I think it may get into a little bit more about your core beliefs.
Yeah.
And
well, I do personally have a very different viewpoint, and so does the Aetherius Society also. And my point is that while there is this tremendous focus on the torture and murder, this great avatar, this great master of love, who came to this earth to, you know, perform his wonderful mission, and helped so much, and is still doing so, I believe it's the wrong focus, and that we should be focusing not on the crucifixion, but on the resurrection. And this is something that is taught in the Aetherius Society also, because we believe and we teach that Jesus not only gave his teachings 2,000 years ago, but also has given teachings for this age, and in various ways. I believe the Course in Miracles was one manifestation of his teachings, which is studied and practiced by thousands of people around the world, probably millions. And also the 12 blessings, we believe, were given channeled by Dr. King, who was a medium.
We did a show about the 12 blessings, remember that?
Yes, and that was a kind of a strange thing, because there was so much, what do I say, interference with that show, wasn't there?
There was.
I don't think it ever aired, did it?
Not all of it, no. And we'll have to get back to that one of these days.
Yeah, it's it can be a controversial subject, but basically in 1958, Dr. King was told that he was about to receive 12 messages from the great avatar known as Jesus. And these took place every Sunday, consecutive Sundays in 1958, and became this book known as the 12 Blessings, which we were told was the teachings of Jesus for this age, to include a cosmic concept. And this, I personally have studied, not only studied, but practiced, because it's a very practical book, for over, oh gosh, 25 years now. And it's a remarkable book. And so in this book, Jesus, the words of Jesus, which came through Dr. King as the channel, he says we should be concentrating, I'm paraphrasing here, on the resurrection, not on the crucifixion. And this is something I have always believed. Even as a child, I couldn't even look at a crucifix in a church. I was quite religious as a child, but I had a terrible feeling about it. I couldn't look at it. I felt it was wrong. And I also believe we should be concentrating on his teachings and trying to live his teachings, if you are a Christian, of love, of prayer, of service, of this type of thing. And I think while we focus on this, put this tremendous focus on the torture and the agony, then this is a dark focus. And I also believe, and this is my soapbox, Jerry, that the majority of mankind, we tend to be voyeurs. We tend to, when, you know, in the past, we'd go along to a public hanging with our family and take our sandwiches and sort of look at it and go away.
The same thing with car wrecks.
Yeah, the car wreck, but we're voyeurs by nature. And I believe that this film, for the most part, obviously there's some genuine people there who will be deeply moved and so on and change their lives and so on. But for the most part, I think we're just going along for the ride.
Chrissy Blaze, we were talking about your book, Power Healing. It's available, I know they can order it on your website, right?
Yeah, Power Prayer, actually.
Power Prayer.
Yeah.
Excuse me, my next question's about healing, and that's the reason I got it mixed up.
Okay. Can I also give out a 1-800 number if people are...
You certainly can.
...in that book, or also in finding out about the 12 blessings. It's 1-800-800-1354.
1354. 1-800-800-1354. And we'll give that again toward the end of the show. I was going to ask you about the power prayer, and we talked about healing. The word healing, sometimes a lot of people think, well, it's a spiritual healing or it's an emotional healing, but you're actually talking about witnessing of healing of broken bones and things like that, correct?
We have, yes. I started my own healing journey, Jerry, when I was 14, and there was a very, very famous healer in England called Harry Edwards. I don't know if you've heard of him. But I was only 14, and he was giving his healing. He was... remarkable man in the Albert Hall, which I don't know if you know, but it was a very big hall in the centre of London where thousands of people could go and listen to music generally. But he was giving a healing demonstration, and I would see people go up there and in wheelchairs and come out walking. You know, he was a remarkable healer. And he healed thousands and thousands of people in his lifetime, which started me on my healing journey. Then I met Dr. King and so forth. And healing, Gary and I have practiced for many years. We have seen bones healed. Gary healed a lady who just opened her leg. She was wearing a plaster cast. He didn't even feel in the mood to give it. But he used this particular technique, actually, which we teach in the book, Power Prayer. And the next day she went for x-rays, and the bone was completely healed. And this kind of thing we have witnessed.
Well, how do you explain it? I mean, how does healing, through prayer work exactly? I mean, is it a miracle? I guess it is.
And healing provides an energy, a spiritual force, or the energy of love, whatever you like to call it, which actually can bring about this harmony which was lacking before. So this harmony which is brought about as an energy reflects back into the physical body and can create wholeness or harmony. This is a very simplistic way of explaining it. But basically, it's to bring about a balance in the energies within the body, which can then cure any condition. doesn't necessarily cure every person, but it does cure every condition, and I can explain about that too.
Yeah, that's almost sounds, like the two parts of the sentence don't go together. Explain
that. For example, Harry Edwards, the healer I talked about, he healed in his lifetime 100 people of meningitis. He healed 100 people. His best friend, whom he dearly loved, got meningitis and he died in his arms. He was unable to heal him. Now, you can heal any condition, can be healed using this healing prayer that's mentioned in our book and so forth. Anyone can use it and bring about healing. I know a lady who was turning the pages of a healing book and healing her husband at the same time. And she cured him of a disease. Just sort of, you know, it's not a difficult thing. But anyway, I digress. Anyway, sometimes healing will always help. You know, someone will always feel better mentally, and it will always help in one way or another. It may not always completely cure a condition because of karmic factors, because perhaps that person has agreed to take on that condition for a certain period of time. But there are always many reasons. But the thing is, we should always try. You know, we should always try. Dr. King always told us, always try and help, always try and heal. And generally, benefits will nearly always come 99% of the time.
Well, now, does it have something to do with the person being healed, or do they have to believe in something?
No,
or?
Actually they don't. Although, saying that, sometimes if people disbelieve and they don't want to have healing, then I wouldn't give it to them. First of all, there has to be a desire to be better. But there doesn't have to be any belief. We've given healing to plants many times, to animals many times, and they respond very well. It helps if a person can cooperate with it. If they know the certain time you're going to give healing, then that will help. But it's not necessary at all to have any particular belief.
Now, somebody listening that needs healing, they're welcome to call the Aetherius Society anytime,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah.
I have a number. Is this the right number? 248-552-9153.
That's right. That's the Detroit branch where we're going up in April and May. They can certainly call there, or they can call the Los Angeles branch of the Aetherius Society, which I can try give that number to.
Yes, please.
That's 323-465-9652. That's 323-465-9652. Or they can call the other one you mentioned, yeah. Or they can go to my website again, and I have a kind of a healing page on my website as well. But certainly a lot of people in this world need healing. And, you know, one thing we teach, I'm not really plugging the book here because I think this is more important than just buying a book, but one thing we do teach is this very simple method of healing prayer, which I just love people to practice it, because people will find that everyone has this ability.
You're saying there's a simple prayer that
it's
you...
A simple technique. In fact, we can teach it over the air, Jerry, if we
want. Well, let's do that.
What people need to do is, first of all, they have someone in mind who needs healing. Hopefully it's someone that they know will, you know, not be against it. Someone, say a friend or a family member.
Well, it's no secret that I have a very severe vision problem. I'm undergoing lots of operations. Let's use me.
Let's send healing to you over the air. That's wonderful. Now, first of all, I'd ask people to say a little prayer of their own religious belief, asking that they be used as a channel for God's power and light and love and healing to flow through them. And just sort of do that for a few minutes. Be very relaxed, deep breathing to start with. And then do this little prayer and just...
So you're saying you can sit in a chair or...
Sit in a chair or stand, whatever's...
And you get relaxed.
Relaxed.
And you breathe deeply.
And then raise your hands upwards. There is a reason for this.
You raise your hands above your head?
Not above your head, but just to each side of your shoulders.
Okay.
We have psychic centers in our aura. We have a very important psychic center just above the heart. Well, that's just above the breastbone, especially not over the physical heart, which is a radiator of love, if you like, through us. We have psychic centers which are radiating energy through our palm centers. So the reason we put our hands up like this, it allows the energies to flow through us, if you like. This is energetic healing. It's the transference of energy, and it's imbuing it with our love and sending it out to the person who's sick, right? So raise the hands like this, one each side
now,
of the shoulder.
Now, do you put your palms out, or?
The palms facing out.
Okay.
As we see pictures, actually, sometimes of saints and so on with their hands like this, put your hands in the same way. And just try and visualize or try and imagine energy as a brilliant white light. To keep it white, very pure white, flowing through you. And some people find it hard to visualize color. One little trick I always say to them is try and think of something white, like a snow scene or something, and hold this in your mind's eye, this visualization of white. The reason we choose white, Jerry, is that white contains all colors. And the person you are sending it to, the innate intelligence of that person will draw from the energy you're sending the color it needs to heal itself, if that makes sense. I don't know. For example, if a person has a fever, they will need to get a cool color, which will be like a blue, this end of the spectrum. If they are cold, have a cold condition, they will need a more heated color. But it's much safer if you, as the healer, just sends a white light. And then the patient will draw from you the color it needs from that light, from the energy.
Now, this light that you envision, it should be surrounding you, or?
Kind of surrounding you. You're drawing it from the ethers around you and through you, and you're in.
It's kind of like an aura?
Yeah, you're kind of channeling it. Imagine it like a brilliant white river flowing through you and out through your heart, through your hands, out in a great stream to the person who sticks. And one thing you should never do is visualize their sickness. But instead, see them, if it's you, Jerry, see Jerry being filled with this brilliant, scintillating light, absolutely held in this brilliant light. And hold this for as long as you're able to. And at first, you know, this will take practice, it takes concentration. But you will start to feel the energy moving through.
You're envisioning, I'm envisioning myself, and I should have this light around me, and it should be light, and I should be able to hold this vision for a while.
Yeah. Now, you, as if you're the recipient of the healing, which I think you are on this show, Jerry, you just have more of a receptive mode. You try and be open to the healing that's coming to you from your listeners.
Okay.
So you try and be open, and just allow it to come into your body and your aura and fill you with this brilliant, loving light. Now, while you're visualizing, the people who are listening, while you're visualizing, drawing this energy of God, which it is, of the Creator through you, also try and imbue it with your love, your feeling, your intensity, your desire to heal. And this will sort of color the energy with this high vibration of love. It's not just an emotional love, it's a compassion, it's a very
it's in religious terms, an agape love.
Exactly, yeah, it's
okay.
A
agape
love, yeah.
Okay.
So you're drawing the energy through you, you're imbuing it with your love, your desire to heal that person, and you're sending it and you're visualizing that person. If they're in the next room or 6,000 miles away, doesn't matter, being filled with this brilliant, scintillating white light. And see them happy, see them joyful, see the person, you know, walking around and full of life and vitality, and create that visualization of the person being healed. And just hold it for as long as you can. If you're used to doing this, maybe you can hold it for 2 or 3 minutes, 5 minutes. It may be difficult at first. And when you finish, you almost kind of feel the flow of energy start to diminish when that person is kind of full, has had enough. And then close with a little prayer of thankfulness, asking that if it be God's will, this person might be healed, or whatever kind of terminology you like to use.
In other words, it's not in cement that has to be word for word. It's something that you would feel natural about.
Yes, that's right. And then just close by placing the right hand palm once over the left hand and sweep the right hand palm across the left hand. It's called the mudra of detachment. You are, it's like you're saying.
Now let's go through that again. What you take your left
arm over the left hand palm. Sweep it across once.
You put them over each other.
That's right. It's called. It's a way of detaching from what you've done, because the secret of success in healing, Jerry, is to then detach. It's like saying, I've done my best, you know, I'm leaving it now up, it's in God's hands. Let the healing power do its work, and then detach and go about your everyday work. And don't worry about that person, because the worry affects the person too, you know. Heal them, give them as much as your love. And
so in other words, keep it positive. The negative thoughts can neutralize things too easily.
Yeah, it'd be very good if we could, Jerry. When is your operation?
My operation is March 10th at 2:30 Central
Time.
It's a
great idea, especially perhaps just before the operation and just after the operation, if listeners could join together. Just take one or two minutes of their time and filling Jerry with light and love, so that he can, you know, be well again and go about his really important work, I believe, in spreading and promoting truth.
We're continuing regardless, but it would be better if we could see a little better.
Yeah, exactly.
We've had 13 of these operations, 12 lasers and one surgery, and this one's pretty important too. I want to ask you something. When we get to this, Chrissy, I hear about the Aetherius Society and all of this thought and these good thoughts about healing and on and on and on. How do you feel about medical science?
I think it's great. I think it's terrific. And my mother is alive now because of it. You know, if it wasn't for that, she wouldn't be alive. That and healing. I think they work so well together. And it's a shame. The only shame is that they're not working together as much as they should be.
In other words, it's not an either-or situation.
No, unfortunately, people tend to leave healing as a last resort. I've been involved in England, we did a lot of campaigns for getting healing into the consciousness, and we actually ran a campaign which Richard Lawrence, our good friend, launched, and I helped him with it, on getting natural healing methods accepted onto the National Health Service there, because as you probably know, in England they have free medicine.
Yes.
And so we wanted to make this kind of alliance between spiritual healing and natural healing, and it actually worked. You know, the campaign was successful.
Yeah, it was accepted then.
It was accepted.
Yeah, we've had Richard Lawrence on our show several times, and hope to have him again soon.
Great, yeah, he's the greatest.
He's quite a renowned fellow.
RichardLawrence.co.uk, if people want to check that out. But They need to be working together. We need to have more healers going into hospitals. We need to have more healers in operations. There's a very enlightened doctor, I don't know if you've heard of him, Dr. Mehmet Oz, who was in the Columbia Presbyterian Hospital, I think it's called. And he would have healers working during his operation. He was a cardiologist. He is a cardiologist. He would have them during the operation and after.
That's amazing right there, just that fact. I wonder how his fellow doctors felt. I guess results make it okay for whatever you want to do.
You know, there have been tremendous results, Jerry. I think the result of prayer and healing prayer has been studied more. There was a double-blind study done several years ago in a San Francisco hospital by a cardiologist called Dr. Randolph Bird, and he had 300 patients with heart problems, and half of them were prayed for by healers and so forth, and the other half were not prayed for. And the results were that those people who had been prayed for by healers, or sent healing, or whatever you like to call it, got better far quickly. They had to have less medications, they had better blood pressure levels, and so on and so forth, and fewer of them died, and so on. And this kind of study has been done over the last 10 years particularly. And every time the study is done, the results of healing have come out very favorably. My question is, why don't the pharmaceutical companies want to include, you know, want to involve healing and so forth?
Well, my answer is, you can't patent that.
Yeah, you can't make.
And you can't sell it over the counter.
Exactly.
You can't sell it through prescription.
Exactly. What is more important, people's health or money? You know, trying to make money out of people who are sick. And I think there needs to be more of a balance. You know, we need to sort of bring these things together. There is a place for drugs, of course. Some people, you know, have to have them. But also, let's bring into the consciousness healing, which is free, and everybody can do it.
We're talking with Chrissy Blaze. This is Jerry Pippin. And Chrissy, we're talking about healing. Do you have to target a certain person, or like in a disaster, is it possible for people to pray for people that are, you know, like in an earthquake?
Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that up, Jerry, because the Aetherius Society launched last year something called the 1 Minute Peace Prayer Initiative. And that is people joining together around the world at 8 p.m. in their local time, or at another minute during the day if they can't make that, join together in building up this huge sort of bank of prayer, which will be sort of drawn by people who are suffering in various ways. That's one way of doing it. Another way is for us as individuals to target, if there's an earthquake, to go into our room and spend a couple of minutes sending our healing and our love to the victims, to the rescue workers, etc. It's the greatest sort of untapped potential that we have on this earth, I believe.
Well, it seems to me that if you could set time aside and get millions of people to do a prayer at the same time, just scientifically, just the vibes, it should
absolutely
work.
Absolutely. We get too hung up on, you know, different religions and all the differences. We need to realize that prayer is the universal language. It's something that every single religion has. And in fact, people of no religious belief at all, you'll find when they're in a life...
When they're in trouble, all of a sudden they're praying. what is it about prayer and meditation and things like that that get some people just can't do it, you know, or they don't want to or something?
I think everything, Jerry, is a matter of education. And you see, prayer is a song of the soul, and not everybody wants their soul to sing. You know, we're all at have gone through different experiences. But generally, when people have gone through a lot of difficulties, then they find it sort of opens them up to possibilities of a more spiritual, like religious dimension, you know. Often it takes that, unfortunately. All of us have within us this soul and this desire to pray and to love and, you know, to help and so on, but it just is more covered up in some people, unfortunately.
First problem you have, in my opinion, with healing, when you start talking about the word healing, you all of a sudden you think of faith healers and charlatans and et cetera, et cetera. Why do people, in other words, they're just naturally doubting Thomases when it comes to the subject? Or am I wrong?
We're all doubting Thomases, aren't we? We tend to be, like, whether it's UFOs or life on other planets or healing, it's things that are not in our everyday consciousness. So we say, well, we want proof, and then when we're given proof, we don't want that either. But what we do in our classes, what Gary and I do when we teach the power prayer method and everything, we get people to experience it. We get people to feel the energy, and that is how you get people to change. And even doing that little experiment we did earlier, Jerry, with sending healing to you, if the listeners really do try it, they will amaze themselves. You know, I did this years ago in a radio station in England, and people had miraculous healings. They joined in this little thing, and it hit the front page of the local newspaper because one lady could go outside. She'd never been outside for 10 years because she had this illness, and other people saw lights. And, you know, people have to try things and
yeah,
get and over
in
their
fact,
doubt.
Yeah, in fact, we're not making that healing prayer just about me, even though I need it, of course. I mean, that's for anyone, it's on our website, jerrypippin.com, on demand, so you can go over there to the Chrissy Blaze section and click it on and listen to that show anytime, and if you know someone that needs it, it will help. Let's talk about this book a little bit. Is it a big book?
No, it's a medium size. It's kind of a nice size, actually, kind of a square book. It's not too big. People tell me it's an easy read. we wrote it like that.
Is
it expensive?
No, I think it's $9.95. And if, actually, if they buy it through the Etheria Society on the 800-800-1354, they get a special price of, I think it's $8.50-something. Don't hold me to that. But
in other words, that's the best place to go buy it.
Yeah, it is actually. It's even cheaper than Amazon.com, which also sells it. It's designed, as I say, it's to be used by anybody of any religious belief or none at all to get this method and to explain how prayer works, why it works as it does, and to give you very practical techniques so that you can prove to yourself that you can heal other people, that you can heal yourself and so on and so forth, and heal the world. That's another part of the book. And it contains prayers, suggested prayers from different religions, and it's just kind of a nice book, actually, I have to say so myself.
Well, Chrissy Blaze, we've still got about 15 minutes here of show left before it's all over. I'll get back to the book in a minute. I want to get back to Dr. George King for a minute. You know, a lot of people have different ideas about him. Did he believe were flying saucers and UFOs involved in his beliefs? I mean, I was thinking, didn't they have some kind of meeting or something out in the desert someplace or something? I'm trying to remember.
Well, he started in England.
Okay.
He started the society in the 1950s, and he was demonstrating against, the atomic bomb and all this kind of thing. And also he was, spreading the message of UFOs at that time in the 1950s. And when he came out to the U.S. in the 1960s, yeah, he did meet in the desert with other flying saucer promoters and aficionados at the time. And you would probably know their names better than I do, Jerry, but...
Was it Richard Lawrence that had some experience with UFOs at Chernobyl, or was that... who? I get all this confused sometimes.
Richard Lawrence spent a lot of time with Dr. King, also worked with him for many, many years, and... he was quite close to him, and one day, Dr. King was also used to channel messages which we believe came from beings, advanced beings, beyond this earth. And one day he was with Dr. King, and he received a message, not Richard Lawrence, but Dr. King received a message, was told that there had been a nuclear accident at Chernobyl, and Richard was in the room with him. And this was prior to it being released in the media, and this message was, he was told, had come from a being from the planet Mars. And so the fact that UFOs are real, they exist, and the fact that there is life on other planets within and beyond our solar system is very much a central theme of the Etheria Society.
So are you saying you believe there's life on Mars right now?
Jerry, and members of this society do, that there are realms around this Earth that contain life forms that we can't necessarily see. There are other realms of existence. When we pass on, when we die, we go to one of these realms, which some people might call heaven, or some people might call hell. There are different realms of existence. Just like there are around this Earth, we believe there are around the other planet. Not the lower realms, but higher realms in which beings exist. It doesn't mean to say that you're going to go to Mars and meet someone, because the life streams there are much more advanced than we are, philosophically, spiritually, technologically, are more advanced than we are on this planet. And we believe they've been coming to this Earth for many, many thousands of years in flying saucers. And then, Jerry, the research on that, there's been masses and masses of...
Well, we even had you tell us your UFO experience one time of seeing one, so... I don't know if you remember that or not, a couple of years ago. See, I remember all the shows we've done.
Yeah, certainly. I've seen... I've had two experiences of seeing what I believe were UFOs, and I know many people who have. Seen much more vivid ones than I have, actually. I met a man once who... He didn't actually believe in UFOs, a funny thing, but when he was a boy, he said he was walking through the park, and one landed in the park, and he was very embarrassed to tell me about it. And he said since that time, he didn't even want to think about it, because it sort of so affected his life. He just wanted to be, inverted commas, normal like everybody else.
Well, let's talk about these higher realms of life and things like that for a minute. You're an astrologer as well.
That's right, yeah.
And, you know, there's certain people you feel an affinity for. In other words, you feel like you've almost known them before. And I have a very good feeling about you, for instance.
Yeah, you and me go back, don't we?
Yeah, and so do you think that stuff like that happens?
I believe in that we don't just live once, but we have many different lives, you know, reincarnation. And that you tend to meet people through your over and over again, because you form connections with people, you know, through love or friendship or through hate. You form links with people, and then you kind of reborn to work out things, work out lessons or learn things together or whatever. That's my belief.
So your arch old enemy you probably see again.
Absolutely.
And I guess the ideal outcome is that you're no longer enemies?
Absolutely. They can be your greatest teachers, they say, don't they? Because they bring out parts of you that you don't want to see, you know? And eventually that link will be worked out. One of the best ways, actually, if you do have an enemy, and this happened to me once, is to send them with the highest amount of love that you can, send them healing on a regular basis. And that kind of breaks the link after a while, because any animosity between people creates a link between those people.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to dislike somebody that still, you know, thinks the best of you, and it's hard to think the best of somebody that dislikes you, but I know what you're saying.
Not true, yeah.
You know, you have to rise above that, and I've noticed the first reaction of the person that doesn't necessarily like you for whatever reason, whether it's valid or not, is that when you return that, for lack of a better term, hate message with a message of love, it just really PO's them.
Really? Isn't that the way?
And then after a while, they do change.
Exactly. And isn't that the message of all the great religious leaders and all the, you know, I mean, that really is the way to go, isn't it? It's the great message of love, which I believe was the great message.
Let's talk a little bit about your website. We'll get back to the book here in a minute. Somebody goes over to your website, who would you recommend to go over there? I know everyone, but why? I mean, you have different departments here, I notice.
Yeah, I kind of keep it interactive, as you do, Jerry. You know, I try and put some controversial stuff on there, and I try and put some... I have some astrology news every month, and I have information about the Aetherius Society. I have links to... I'll only have links on my site to people and organizations that I believe are good, like including your radio show, for example, is one of them. And
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and I have sort of recommended books and so on. Well, it's just, I try and keep it interesting.
This sounds like I'm patting you on the back just to be nice, but I mean this. I think that you have a wonderful ability for public relations, and you ought to take this public relations ability and put it to work for your spiritual beliefs there that you have, because you're very dedicated and you seem to know who Chrissy Blaze is.
Who is this person? Well, actually, it's funny you should say that, because I do the public relations for the Aetherius Society, I suppose my biggest passion in life, Jerry, is to sort of heal the planet, you know, and bring people together who are involved in their different ways, as you are, in bringing out the truth and working together to sort of heal the planet and to bring light and to bring healing and so on. That's our biggest task, isn't it? Otherwise, we don't have a future.
And that's right, and I believe, and I'm sure you do too, that we're here on Earth for a reason, so let's make the best of it. Let's do the right thing.
Absolutely.
Sometimes we can fool ourselves, maybe, and not be doing the right thing, but basically I think we know ourselves. Basically we know what to do, don't you?
I do. I think if people are really go into the silence and are really honest and sort of look in front of the mirror at themselves every day, give themselves time to do that, I think we do know what's right and wrong. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, kind of, you know, well, I don't know what you want to call it, the golden rule, karma, whatever. I mean, but it really does work if you treat people like you'd like for them to treat you. Put out good vibes. Usually you get good vibes back.
Yeah, and if everybody could do that, then we wouldn't have any problems, would we?
Yeah, somebody's not following the program. Quite a few.
Dr. King made a very interesting statement. He said the biggest crisis on this planet was the spiritual energy crisis, what he called the spiritual energy crisis. And when you boil that down, it's the lack of, what are you saying? It's the lack of love. Because he called love like spiritual energy. It's the lack of caring. It's too much greed. It's too much all these things. So if we all could solve that, what he called the spiritual energy crisis, by bringing into the world more love, more healing, more understanding for other people, then he believed and he taught all the other energy crises, all the other shortages which are caused by greed, would gradually be solved. And I think that was a kind of a unique perception, actually.
You know, I guess there's always psychological studies going on about the power of prayer. And, you know, besides the religious and spiritual connotations of it, some scientists have, scientific studies about it. And it does seem to be universal, as you say, regardless of the religion.
Absolutely. It's the universal language, if you like, isn't it? It's the one language we can all speak, actually, if we want to.
We can argue about whether we're talking to one deity or several, or we're just clearing our own souls and our own minds. But there's something about meditation, about prayer, about that type of thing that seems to work.
It really does, yeah. And how can you prove it to another person? But we all have to try it in our own way and then prove it to ourselves, yeah.
And as I said, everybody seems to be dragging their heels when you get right down to it. I've noticed one thing doing these type of shows that I do in the last 15 or 20 years. Almost everyone, regardless of their creed, when it really gets down to it, they believe that there is some sort of higher power, higher meaning to life. I don't care what they say they are, whether they say, you know, they're agnostic or whatever. But when it really gets down to it, as you said earlier, when you're in trouble, most people resort to some sort of prayer.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and so I think your book, you know, opens up a lot of people's eyes, and they need to take a look at that book and read it. And like you say, it is a good fast read. And it's not expensive. It's around $9, and they can get it from the website. Just link right there and order it from the society or get it from Amazon.com. And you know, I think it's something that I'm not out here just to hawk your book. I've enjoyed the entire hour, but I think people. Every once in a while you run across a book that has some meaning, and this one does.
Oh, thank you very much, Gary. I appreciate that. Yeah, it was a heart thing, you know, Gary and I, it was something we were inspired to write it, and we wrote it. Our main priority in writing it is to inspire other people to the great power which lies within them, to bring that out to help themselves and to help others. That's what inspired us.
Well, I'm going to ask the obvious question that we started off with, Chrissy. We're talking about healing, and Gary went to the dentist today and had 3 hours worth of surgery there. Why didn't he heal himself?
To heal others, I must say.
I'm just kidding.
But there's a point to that little snide remark, and the point is that, in my opinion, and I'd like to have your view on it, it seems to me that, and you touched on it briefly, healing is, I guess for lack of a better term, in the eyes of the beholder, sometimes you don't realize you're being healed and you are. I mean, in other words, positive thinking and all of that comes into play. And for some reason, it works on some people and some people it doesn't.
That's right. Well, I believe healing will help everybody. and they will be helped in one way or another. Even sometimes we send healing to people who are terminally ill, and that person will pass over, will pass on. But what we've noticed over the years generally happens, 9 times out of 10, is that their passing will be very peaceful, and it will be a very wonderful, you know, feeling, and the family will say, oh, they passed so peacefully, and I felt very good about it. You know, that's this kind of thing. So even if it doesn't always heal everybody, it always seems to help on one level or another.
I want to ask you one other thing. You mentioned passing. When Dr. King died, that society was built around his beliefs. Did that have an effect on the theory of society? Or is it just continuing as strong as ever? Or?
Obviously it had an effect on the society because he was such a charismatic figure for so many years, but he set it up. He almost dotted every single I and crossed every T, so that the missions he created, he invented, the missions of world healing, which are a central part, can be carried on by initiates into the future. You know, that's our main task, and also the promotion of the teachings can be carried on into the future. He set up bodies of people, committees, to run the Aetherius Society.
Well, one of the reasons I ask that is, for instance, coming up to the Iraq War, as you know, I was against that from the beginning, and still am, and we actually had a prayer movement, a peace movement, a meditation movement, or whatever, and still the war happened. And I just wondered what your explanation might be about that.
Yeah, I think, you know, we can never guarantee results, but the main thing is that we have to work together as forces for light, whatever you call it, to bring about change. And we have to really believe that we can. And I think it just was a question of not enough people doing it, really. More people wanting the war, more resources behind that than people prepared to pray for the light, you know, pray for... And this is always the case, you know. We need more healers. We need more people who are prepared to roll up their sleeves and actually do something. And this is the problem.
Well, with that, I think it's a good way to close our show, Chrissy Blaze. The name of the book is Power of Prayer. And you're going to be in Detroit?
Yes, we're going to, Gary and I are going to Detroit area from April the 23rd to May the 1st, and we'll be running 3 or 4 lectures and a workshop, a one-day workshop on power prayer, and at the Aetherius Society there, and I think you have the number.
Yes, we do.
552-9153, I think it is, and hopefully we might meet some of your listeners
and
there.
Of course, we'll have that information posted on the website as well. Chrissy Blaze, it's always great talking to you. And I've been close to you a couple of times, but never made it personally to say hello, but I plan to one of these days.
Yeah, we're going to meet at some point. Well, thank you so much, Jerry, and I do hope and pray and will do that your operation goes really well, and that this will be the last one of its kind, you know, that your eyes will get better and better.
Well, I hope so. Right now, I'm... for maybe listeners that don't know, I'm legally blind. I can see a little, but very little, and it's pretty rough in this job, which is a research intensive.
So we're asking listeners around the world who are listening to Jerry's show on March the 10th to send all your prayers of healing and so on to Jerry.
Thank you very much, Chrissy. We always love you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye. Take care.
You're a small business owner, but you're not advertising. You believe that the economy is still stagnant, that consumers are hanging on to their money. You think maybe you'll spend a little on advertising once things start to pick up, but you know what? By then, it'll be too late. Your competitors will already be advertising and taking a big fat chunk of your market share. You'll have totally missed the boat. The train will have left the station, and there you'll be standing all alone on the platform, watching slack-jawed as customers pass you by. Why? Because they don't know you're there, because you didn't advertise, because you didn't think it was worth it. Every moment of every day, someone is buying something. People are shopping right this second, making choices, making purchases, and if you're not talking to them, someone else is. Advertising greases the wheels of commerce, fuels the engines of economic expansion, connects consumers with companies and buyers with sellers. Advertising, it works. Your competitors know this, why don't you? A message from the Radio Advertising Bureau, Adweek Magazine, this radio station, and the famous Radio Ranch.
If you're looking for adventure, information, and entertainment on the internet, one stop fits all at jerrypippin.com. At jerrypippin.com, you'll find multimedia entertainment at its best. Almost 2 million people are enjoying hours of entertainment and information. Hit it now. www.jerrypippin.com.